This week, we're celebrating tourney time with game-winning deals at Target. Catch every play on a new TCL TV or dunk an easy halftime snack with a digital air fryer. It's tourney time at Target, where low prices and great deals make it easy to save. Restrictions may apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Slime Time there in the background. Welcome to Shooting the Sports-ish, the NXT TakeOver recap show. We are live immediately following the show. Let's not do any plugs or anything. Let's just talk about fucking wrestling, guys. What an amazing show. This was, I'm back at wrestling, right? I just got back in, haven't been here in a while. And what better way to jump back in than to, yes, get reeled in with a fantastic wrestling show. Let's talk about it.
You know, I think when you look at takeovers, right? And you both can jump on in a moment. They tend to never disappoint. You may have higher expectations for one than another, but on that same notion, you typically leave a takeover pretty thankful for what you saw, pretty excited for some matches, some angles are set up for the future. The big angle on this show wasn't even anything on the card. It was the aftermath of the main event. Tony, you want to talk about that now or do you want to wait?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's go backwards. The big thing that happened here, and you guys, if you're jumping in, the thing you want to know is not at all what happened in the red. We got a bunch of people jumping in here, guys. Thank you for joining us. Please make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, all of that good stuff. You know, check us out. ShootingTheSportsGist.com right there. We'll put the little scroll here. You can check out our social. Undisputed Era has come to an end. As someone that is a hater of Undisputed Era, and I have disliked them for the majority of them, not because there's anything wrong with the faction. They were very, very good. But for a long time, TakeOvers was basically just Undisputed Era up and down the card, which they're all fantastic talents. I get it. Whatever. All the belts. That's great fun. But factions have a limited time frame in the WWE. And to me, I thought that they, like when I was jumped out of wrestling 8 months ago or whatever it was, they were at the end of my interest for them. But I didn't expect them to do this good of a breakup angle, like having Adam Cole go safe in Balor. They were never even in a stable. They were never in Bullet Club together. But it's interesting, Tanner. I think it's an interesting way to break it up. I didn't see the ending. So tell me about the ending.
Yeah. So basically what happens is at the very end of the match, you know, Pete Dunne and the two tag team champions, they come out to the ring. And they beat down on Finn Balor. Undisputed Era's music hits. And it's Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly, who has had this kind of strange symbiotic relationship with Finn Balor. Very close friends, it seems. Mutual respect because of how much they've beaten the crap out of each other. You know, so Finn kind of gets saved by Undisputed Era. Undisputed Era hits their kind of UE kind of logo there. And at the end of it, Adam Cole super kicks Finn Balor. Kyle, offended, confronts Adam Cole and gets a super kick himself and leaving Roderick Strong in the middle of the ring super confused about everything.
As I was super confused saying that they were joining together as Bullet Club friends. So sorry. That was a fuck up on my part. That's what happens when you don't see the tag at the end. I'm still new, right? Like, it's my first day.
Hey,
Tom,
don't blame you.
Did you see this coming?
Whose computer's lagging like hell? Anyway, you know, I knew for a long time they'd be breaking up Undisputed Era. It was like, to your point, probably. It was it was to be expected. Like you had mentioned, everything has a shelf life, and I think pre-pandemic they probably had ideas of breaking them up and what they were going to do with them. I think they kind of waited a little longer after the pandemic, you know, just to set everything in place and line up the story again. I guess the big question going into Mania season, right, with NXT is, will it be Cross and Finn? Will it be Cole and Finn? Will it be Cole, Finn, and Dunn? Like, they left it very open for everyone.
Yeah. Well, Dunn lost clean, so I'm going to go ahead and assume that Dunn's not going to be there. I'm going to guess that Dunn's not involved in the main event scene. I think we will see Cross. I don't know, man. I really think Adam Cole versus Finn Balor is kind of the ticket, man. You got, like, again, we talked about this earlier today on our prediction show or the odds show with Tom, other Tom. To me, I think that they're going to do whatever is going to make the crowd pop the most. And the two most over guys on the roster for NXT are absolutely Adam Cole and Finn Balor. And it's going to be that way for as long as they're on that roster, I would think. That's where I think they're going, Tanner. What do you think?
Well, we got to remember that there's a very vital component that we're missing, and that's Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, he very well could be in that mix of Adam Cole, Finn Balor, and the championship, obviously. So I would not look over Kyle O'Reilly in this regard.
I think that that makes them, that's another guy too. And that fits in with kind of what I'm thinking is they are super over that. Like he is, Kyle O'Reilly is also super over, has been since he started, got way more over with the damn air guitar belt thing. And that, like, you know, like that's not always how WWE books, but they are going to cater to these fans as much as possible because they're going to have fans there. It's going to be a live show. And they know that once they go live with crowds, they're not turning back from crowds ever again. It's not happening again unless another pandemic hits. And even then, Florida's never going back again. So probably doesn't matter. They're going to do what the crowd wants. Fenton, is that wrong for me to just assume? Like that triple threat, by the way, is like main event worthy.
Look, they have all the power in the world right now because they can control the volume of the crowd, right?
Yeah.
The tempo of the crowd, the sound of the crowd, the effects of the crowd. Yep. Virtually no real crowd there right now. So for the last 6-7 months or so, 8-10 months, WWE is able to get the guys they want to be booed and cheered. As you mentioned, they gave them all that time. When they get back in front of live crowds, it's then sink or swim for a lot of these guys. They'll either continue to get over booed or they just simply can't be there. I do think they're all over. I also think Cross is very over as well right now for the role he plays in NXT.
I think we're going multi-man here. I don't think we're going to get a one-on-one. I like that you brought up Kyle O'Reilly there, Tanner. I think that's absolutely correct. Killer Cross, whatever. We could go anyway. I just know Pete Dunne's not going to be involved. Pete Dunne's got to move up to the main roster. Let's talk about the main event now. We had Pete Dunne versus Finn Balor. This was my favorite match on the card by a long shot. I kind of went into this match thinking I was either going to like the tag match the best or this one. I'll talk about the tag match in a little bit. I did not like that match as much as I thought I was going to, but this match was fantastic. The thing that I love about Finn Balor is he's someone like me that actually came in to watching when Finn Balor had just won the NXT championship over Kevin Owens. I come back in, I watch Finn Balor and I do the fucking arm thing with him. Finn Balor is just great. He's a lot of fun to watch, a lot of fun to cheer for. This match ruled. This match ruled, Tanner. I thought it was just fantastic.
Man. Yeah, no, I mean, and I hate to like be not objectionist or anything, but like, you know, you kind of knew what was coming, right? Like, Finn Balor is a world class professional wrestler. Like, bottom line, he's a world class professional wrestler.
Right.
Pete Dunne, if you followed his career from Progress all the way through NXT UK and up until, you know, him being on NXT proper, you know what he's all about too. He put on a heck of a match. Maybe it was last year at Survivor Series with Adam Cole, I guess the one that they did the NXT involvement with. You know, Pete Dunne is a spectacular technical wrestler, and they put that on full display tonight. And you know, we got what we wanted out of this match. Bottom line, sure it was really, really good.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Tom, tell me your thoughts on this match. You'll usually come at these things with a more technical thought.
I thought the psychology was really good. I thought with Dunn throwing shoulder thrust and chest thrust into Finn's what was surgically repaired jaw was a nice touch to really just tell a story there, right? Pete Dunn's supposed to be this very technical, brutal guy, so he told the story. I did like it from a standpoint as well. It started off slower than I thought it would, and it really picked up towards the middle and the end. It really built that course for you to want to watch it. I think that's what I liked the most.
I am with you. I think this is the best built match. I think it was the best paced match of the entire card. And I don't think any of the other matches were built as well as this one. I thought the first third of the match built perfectly. Sure. I thought the middle of the match built the suspense. And I did feel like there was a chance that Pete Dunne was going to pull the upset. It did pull me out of just being a mark, being a smart.
So they sucked you in though, right? That ending sold you. It was really good, and that's why it sold people.
And I want to add something to what you brought up just a moment ago, Tom.
He's trying so hard to put his point in.
I'm just like, from what you had talked about earlier with the psychology, the mouthpiece of Pete Dunne, I thought that was a brilliant touch because nobody's done that to Pete Dunne ever, where they just grab the mouthpiece out and they just smash him. It was great. It was a really nice touch.
It was a really nice touch. We're all having some buffering issues here because all three of us somehow are in locations where there is actually fucking snow.
It's outside.
A lot of it. Midwesterner down below is like, welcome to life, bitches. And Tanner Tanner and I here in Waco, Texas are like, eat dicks, man. This is awful. I'm in a hoodie in my house. The hell is this? I thought it was a good match. It built very well. It felt like... This, you know what I liked about this match the most, guys? It didn't have the false finish-a-thon that you have in NXT matches. Like, the one thing that I've always had a problem with, and a lot of people have problems with NXT, is they just go and they rely on less psychology and more false finishes to pull the crowd into the match. But Pete Dunne and Finn Balor are so good, they don't need to do that. And it was nice to see.
And that's telling you something, too, without an actual live crowd being able to do that, which is more impressive, in my opinion. You're able to tell that story without the false finishes with 4 to 15 people around ringside. Yes, piped in crowd noise, I get it, but I think that's more impressive than able to do with a crowd.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move into the co-main, I guess, or the cool-off match. It's unfortunate that the ladies were in the cool-off spot, but the ladies were in the cool-off spot. That triple threat to me, Fenton liked it. We'll let Tanner go first here. I'm going to be honest. I got sucked out of the ladies match. I didn't really care for it. It doesn't help that, unfortunately, I was able to predict how that was going to go. But I mean, it was a predictable match. Io Shirai wasn't going to lose, and Mercedes Martinez was always going to take the pin. They clearly are building to Io versus Tony as the Mania match, which they should. There's nothing wrong with that rematch one-on-one, Tanner, but this match didn't do much for me. It wasn't bad.
I feel like a lot of the blame lies with how the tag match was right before it, and that it kind of sucked the wind out of everything, which is unfortunate, right? And we'll get to the tag match in just a moment. But just for all intents and purposes, I do agree in that Tony and Io is the direction to go. I don't see there being really anybody else on the women's roster at this time that really... I don't know that fits that role. Somebody who's conceivable to take on Io Shirai, and maybe that's how well they've established Io Shirai on the roster.
Yeah,
you know, she's been champion for nearly a year, almost over a year at this point. There's not really anybody who can touch her. I would like to see a Tony one on one match with Io. I think that would work really, really well.
But I think so, too. We lost Fenton there for a second. He had to reset his computer because his internet was going bad. And here's the beautiful thing about Fenton as he jumps back in here. He tried to blame you and I for the internet connection. But as you see, one of us had to reset, and it was not the Waco Texans.
I have more snow than you.
I actually think it's probably the same right now. For right now. Now, by the end of the week, yeah, for sure. You will be living underneath snow, and we will be just in ice and pissed. So, you know, you're not wrong. Tom, you jumped in at a perfect time, man. You enjoyed the women's match. Tell us why. Tell us why we're wrong for not enjoying it.
I said I was entertained by it. I didn't think it was boring. I think there was a couple really cool spots in the match. I like the triple submission. I like the dive off the top of the platform. Thought those were cool. I enjoyed the finish. It didn't bore me. Did I say it was spectacular? No. It didn't tell a...
Oh, no.
I think we lost
him. He reset and it got worse.
Oh.
You there, buddy?
Quick, Tom, change the
got
hat.
Got worse. I'm sorry, guys.
He waved. He's gone. All right. Let's see okay. if he tries it again. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll go here. It's okay. Live shows are fun. Anyway, he was saying that he thought that there were some spots in the match that he liked. I kind of saw where he was going with that. And, like, sure, if you're looking at it from if you're looking at it from just a match as far, you know what? Yes, the match was fine. Nothing wrong with that match whatsoever. It just was in a bad spot. You're totally right. That happens a lot in wrestling. It sucks.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, do you want to get to the tag match? I mean, because I think that would give you greater context for what's going on here in this match.
Yeah, but we're working backwards here. Before we do, let's put in our ad here from our sponsors at podgo.co, actually through the NBA store. The NBA store is, the NBA is back. We're actually through the first third of the season, and we cover the NBA whenever I'm not lazy and Cam and I do it. We cover the NBA here on Shooting the Sports-ish, and today's episode is actually brought by the NBA store. A new year brings the start of a new season, and you can get your gear. You may not be able to go to a show yet, right? Or to a show. You may not be able to go to a game yet, but even though you can't, you can buy gear, you can wear that gear, and you can enjoy that game at home. 75% off. From Podgo, that's podgo.co/NBA for up to 75% off on select items. Get yourself whatever it is. Get yourself if you're a bandwagon guy, get a Utah Jazz hat because they are so damn good. Don't get a Pistons hat, though. They have bad internet, those people in Michigan.
Yeah. They won again today.
Yeah, they do. Whenever they play good teams, they win. Fenton said he enjoyed the match, thought there were some good spots. Let's talk about the Dusty Rhodes male classic, MSK versus. And what's up to Conrad and Mags, who are in the chat? Thanks for joining, boys.
Thanks for dealing with my internet.
Yeah, tell us what you think about this match. I think a lot of people will say this is the match of the show. MSK versus Grizzled Young Vets. Tom, you haven't gotten to speak as much because your internet's terrible. Go ahead.
I obviously loved the match. I'm sure everybody else did too. I'm sure we're not going to get a lot of criticism here on bad parts of the match. Action from start to finish. I thought the ending really sucked you in and took away from that release of reality where you didn't know who was going to win this match in the final 2 minutes, right? I thought the false finishes or the negative pins towards the end were great. I enjoyed this match a lot. I thought MSK got a lot of shine. And I think they have a really bright future in NXT. Way brighter than my dad.
Go ahead. I'll go last, Tanner.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't disagree with anything that Tom said just then. MSK put on a heck of a performance, and they really showed what they were all about. Will anything that they did tonight, if you are a fan of some of their prior work to WWE, will any of that, of what they did tonight, surprise you? Probably not. But I think that they established really, really good chemistry here with the Grizzled Young Veterans. Thank you. The right team won ultimately at the end of the day, I think. I think it was super competitive. I think that you had some really, really great spots, but it was always MSK's match to win, I think.
So here's my thought on the match. Yes, it was good. Yes, I love. Mag says that Tom has 56K dial-up internet, and it's the star of the show. And we've got Jason PS3 here. NXT Women's Championship matches are always in a position in which the last match was great. That is so true. But for a while, there was a point in the NXT Women's division or NXT in general that the men's matches couldn't live up to the women's matches, and the women's matches were basically like that was like a 3-year run they did that. It's only recently that the women's division, which is still phenomenal, by the way, the men's singles division actually is just a little better than the women's division. But if you told me you thought the women's division was better than the main event, I wouldn't disagree with you. That's fine. It's a big move up to put the Dusty Cup in their hands so quickly with MSK. I thought when I saw that Zachary Wentz and Desmond Xavier signed, and now they're Wesley and was it Nash Carter? I hate those names, and I don't really understand what MSK is. But they're so cool, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter because they're so good. Who cares? I didn't like all the false finishes. Like, I was really into the match for a while, and I saw someone complaining about too much flippy stuff on this match, which I don't agree with that. It's a tag match. NXT's tag division, other than the Revival, has always been built that way. Like, we had War Machine did flippy shit. We had Revival, and then we had AOP for a while that didn't, but you had DIY with a bunch of flippy shit. This is what they do. This is what the tag division is, and it's fine. But there were so many false finishes, and I hate this when New Japan does it too. There's so many false finishes that whatever the finish is going to be doesn't feel like a finish because there's so damn many of them that are close. Like, what finished the match for MSK didn't feel like it was a bigger move than anything else that happened. Like, it just felt like their special bar was at the end, and you're like trying to get that achievement on like Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and you're like, oh shit, I got to get that one last thing to get 100% on the level. Let me hit this last finisher, and then I'm done. Like, maybe I'm being nitpicky, but to me, like, at the end of it, I was like, oh my God, okay. Finish the match. What is going to finish the match?
You felt they could have cut out about half of those at the end?
Not half. It's the Grizzled Young Vets finish at the end where they pulled out like something from their like early repertoire. That was where it was too much for me. It's like, oh my God. So you had them dig deep and they still didn't put them away. And then the MSK wins with something that's significantly less impressive than what they've done before. And it's like, eh? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
No, I get what you're saying. And I think, too, as you had just mentioned, when you set up that finish, it takes you a few seconds. So it's not bang, bang, bang. Whereas with the Grizzled Vets, when they hit their move, it was bang, bang. It was coming off of two other ones. So you thought maybe that could be the finish. I'll agree at what you're saying, because once you then have that kick out, your reality suspense is no longer there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The match was still good, by the way. And like the putting MSK in this position where they win the match is phenomenal. I love them, Tanner. I think they're fantastic. It's the right move.
Oh yeah, no, this was easily, you know, the right move as far as getting MSK over. NXT, quite frankly, has long needed some new blood in its tag team division, and I think that really pulled it off tonight with both teams. Why they haven't used the Grizzled Young Veterans more? Is it COVID related? Is it, you know, getting them into the country? I don't know. But they've been on NXT proper before. I'm surprised that they haven't been around there more often. But yeah, this was a nice way to end the Dusty Classic, and I would really hope to see both teams a lot more in the future.
Yeah, no, I'm with you completely. Anything else you want to add before we move on to the next match, Tom?
I think we'll see a ton of MSK on NXT. I think there's a lot of faith in those guys. I think they brought him in hot, obviously. They don't do that to that many people. Bring you in your first match as part of a tournament, put you over, win the Dusty Classic. Odds are you'll probably win the tag titles too, because again, it's NXT. They're not going to build them and drop them at the end.
Yep.
So with that said, those guys have a lot of time on there. The Grizzly and the Vex have looked great, obviously, as you said. I think they'll be there for a little bit, and they need to keep bringing the teams in, as you mentioned. You got, you know, Larkin and Birch right now will be feuding as well. You still need one or two more legitimate teams to your extent in there. We'll see how it goes.
Yep. Yep. No, I'm with you. Let's move on to Kushida versus Johnny Gargano, which was very good and different. Johnny Gargano, it wasn't bad. Like, I keep over and over again, which is something I do when I don't want to, like, when I want to pick at a match, but I don't want to say it wasn't good. Because if I were to come in here back immediately and tell you boys that I thought the match wasn't good, I should never podcast about wrestling ever again.
And my internet would cut out again. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be bad because it was a very good match. I think that I went into the match, though, expecting one of those Johnny Gargano bangers that's like, that's a super fast-paced match, and I probably didn't realize, and I know this, but I probably didn't realize at the time that he's a heel now. He's not going to do the pop the crowd stuff. That's not what he's going to do. And it was a very good technical match, though. It just wasn't what I wanted, and I'm being a whiny baby about it.
That's what I wanted.
I mean, maybe so.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Tanner.
Well, I mean, if let's look at his matches, Gargano's matches against Andrade Cien Almas, as well as Tommaso Ciampa, sure. Adam Cole. These are not fast paced matches. They have some quickness in parts, but these are not really fast paced. They're very technical matches. This here for me has been a match that I've wanted ever since Kushida signed for NXT. Did it live up to the hype in my head? Maybe not, but I didn't think it was all that bad either. I think that this is probably, for me, the second best match on the card outside of the main event. As Mags just pointed out in the chat, yeah, the chain wrestling in that match was awesome, super technical, and Gargano's heel work was really, really good. I was actually super surprised that he retained the title. I thought Kushida was going to take it off of him, personally.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'll let Tom jump in, of course, here in a second. But the chain wrestling was incredible, Max. Absolutely, the match was very, very good. It was incredible technical stuff. Kushida hit a spot that I don't think I've seen in a long time with the almost looked like he was going to set up a Spanish fly from the top rope, but then it's more like a monkey flip that he held the wrist. I love that Japanese wrestlers all come over from to the States and they're like, wrist control, baby. Rainmaker, motherfucker, we dealt with that for so many years that I'm holding that damn wrist because it's fucked me so many times, you don't understand. But I love that he held the wrist. It's like, and then it moves straight into the armbar. Gargano sold that armbar spot, and the way he sold it, and it was so convincing, I thought he was going to tap out. And I, at that point, I was like, this is why Gargano is the best wrestler that the WWE has right here. Like, I knew he was going to win, and he was the overwhelming favorite, and yet I believed everything about Kushida's odds, Tom.
I loved a lot of things about this match. And number one, the first thing I liked was them taking Austin Theory out of the match before it started. Yeah. I loved that it then... No. I mean this because it kept it one-on-one. You didn't get the interference. You didn't get the breakups. I love the character, the way I love how they do everything. I just thought it was great that, okay, he's not going to be involved in this matchup after all this build. We officially have a one-on-one contest, and we're going to go out there and technical wrestle for as long as we can. And I loved it. Listen, Kushida's not the same wrestler he was in New Japan. Not the same style, even. And even when he was leaving New Japan the year and a half prior, he got way more technical than he ever was with the arm locks, the arm bars, and submissions.
Yes.
When he added all that in, it kind of took him to the different level of a wrestler. But he's using that side of it in NXT. I like this match a lot. Do I agree with you at some points, Tony? Do I think it may have been faster in some spots or more of that collision course? It could have been, but it didn't hurt it for me.
Yeah, no, for sure. Some things I see John Alba, a friend of Tom's there, that he brings up. Alba says that Triple H says that he believes that they actually got out of this takeover injury free, which I think is the first time in a while they can say that after a takeover. Usually somebody gets hurt, at least a stinger. Yeah. Triple H said that the tag match, the men's tag match, was a masterclass in tag team wrestling. And that's actually the two bits here that we've got so far. But I thought those are interesting notes. The injury thing is huge, especially as we get into the women's match here. The women's match was Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai versus Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. And I'm going to start off with saying something. I think I'm just going to be a heel tonight. I really think that Shotzi Blackheart is very cool. I think that her gimmick is very cool. I think the tank thing rules. I think she's an awesome face. I think she's over and I think she should be. I also think that she is not very good in the ring. You know, like I was talking to Tanner about this. I said I wasn't going to say it on the air, but whatever. I'll be a heel. You guys won't be. Before Shotzi signed with WWE, I was actually really surprised that she did. Now, of course, it's easy because she was an Evolve and they basically just, you know, Evolve was all those guys were going to end up going to, for the most part, they were almost all going to end up going to WWE except Darby, which made sense. But Shotzi, I feel like every weekend, every Evolve weekend, we'd see a GIF of Shotzi doing something that people were like, oh my God, she's so cool. And I'm watching it like, oh my God, did she die? Like, she's so reckless in the ring. She's super dangerous. She takes a lot of unnecessary risks and it's cool. But how long can she wrestle like that? Because there were a few times today that she did things like she tried to do this spot, whatever it was. I guess it's supposed to be like a reverse neck breaker off the top rope. And she didn't get over all the way. And I was like, she's paralyzed. She's done. That tank is done forever.
I could say that about the same person you brought up in this conversation with the same style, though.
And I will at Revolution when he does the same dumb shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but it, like, I think Shotzi's really cool, and I think she's super over. But I thought Dakota Kai was by far the best wrestler in this match.
Listen, I don't like when people take unnecessary risk. It scares me, right? There's a lot of reasons in pro wrestling injuries happen. It's a very hard sport. It's very, very taxing on the body. Let's not add spots that make everything twice as dangerous. This business is still a work. Keep it that way. Make it look like it hurt. Let's not actually make it hurt as much as possible. We don't need to land on our heads.
Right.
I think that's where it drives me crazy, because I know there's so much talent in so many people. Like, you didn't get there without the talent. So start using more of the brain, the process, I guess. Dakota Kai looked great. She continues to find her role in what she's doing right now, since she turned heel and everything that's going on. I'll say this too, though. Raquel Gonzalez has been the most improved wrestler I've seen over the last year. Hands down, without question.
She had a lot of really nice heel work in the match, no doubt. She had a lot of really nice heel work.
She was
in her...
greener than green a year ago. Like, it was troubling to see her try to work a match on TV. And now, I'm not saying she's the greatest thing since sliced bread. She just worked a takeover event, though. That was the big difference of the two in the last year with her.
Sure. Max says the simple things like Shotzi's shotgun drop kicks were off a little. Yeah, I thought Raquel Gonzalez's choke slam at the end, Tanner, I thought was a phenomenal choke slam. I thought she worked great heel stuff, but no, she didn't look particularly good either, but it was fine.
Right. Yeah, no, I really actually liked her finish at the very end. I will disagree with Tom. I do think that I don't believe that Raquel Gonzalez is the most improved wrestler on NXT's roster at the moment. I thought that she came off almost as sloppy as Shotzi in parts, as far as like the selling and the psychology of the match. But maybe that's just a personal take. I don't know. I do think the right team won here. As much as I love Shotzi and Ember Moon as a team, I think that thematically they work really well together. As far as Shotzi herself is concerned, let's not forget that not too long ago we had a particular, current WWE Women's Champion, Sasha Banks, who is also fairly reckless in the ring. NXT, they have a good track record of making sure that these wrestlers, both male and female, end up working in a much safer way than maybe that you would in the indies. Maybe it's just taking a little bit longer for Shotzi to acclimate to that environment.
Sure. Sure. I thought Dakota Kai worked really well here too. I think that I saw a lot of people say that everybody in the match at some point was a little reckless. That's true. I mean, everybody was a little reckless and a little sloppy in the match, but I really thought this was a good opener. It's NXT has kind of mastered the opener. I think of all the promotions in the wrestling world, I think that they might actually be the best at the opening match. I don't think anybody does better at it.
I think there's times on AEW Dynamite where they try to, like, they have the right match picked out to do it. For whatever reason, it doesn't happen to be the perfect opening match, as you mentioned. But I think they at least have the idea down. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I look at takeovers as first matches, and it reminds me of a Mania card 20 years ago where it took them 4 hours to figure out what the first match was going to be, what's going to work for the crowd. So I like that thought's at least in there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say about this show as a whole. I thought it was really... Go for it.
I will ask you guys something that bothered me on the show. We have the WWE announced the current best free agent in wrestling.
Oh God, I was going to avoid this.
I'm not. And they said, you know, and obviously it was Eli Drake, whose name is now what? LA
fucking LA Knight. What a fucking stupid name.
So I'll make it even worse. So, okay. So his name's LA Knight, Ghost Rider, LA West, Kanye West. I don't care, right? What bothers me the most is he wasn't even the most talented guy they signed this week.
No. Who else did they sign this week? They had Blake Christian, they announced, basically. Yeah.
I can't comment. Who else? You can look. I can't comment. There's three others this week.
Parker Bordeaux is official. Parker Bordeaux is official.
I wasn't even including him.
regardless, Blake Christian, they signed. Listen.
Yeah.
Eli Drake was involved in sexual assault allegations, wasn't he? Or is it sexual harassment allegations?
I'd have to look. I don't know.
Hold on. Let me look. Let me make sure that's right, because I don't want to be
in front of you. I would hope you're not correct, but
he was fired from rings. He was fired from Impact. Why was he fired? Let me see. Oh, no, it wasn't that. I'm so sorry. Please, forget that guy. It was not sexual assault. He was fired around the same time that all the Me Too shit came out, though. Like, so it's hard. Like, you know what I mean? It's, like, hard to keep up with all of them. Taya Valkyrie, they signed also. Oh, definitely. Eli Drake is definitely not as talented as Taya. He's not even the best person from Impact that they got. Blake worked Impact last night. So, yeah, not at all. Eli Drake got fired because he said some bullshit about intergender wrestling. That we're like, remember when that was a thing, and like him and Tessa got something. He said some dumb shit, and then he showed up and he worked in NWA. Listen, yes. Eli Drake is a great talker, but he's just the Miz, but like way worse.
But that's how they used him tonight. It was almost the identical role. He has that over the top, like, bluish leather DB style jacket on, looking like I want to be Hollywood, but I'm not, like playing the role he's supposed to. But to me, it's like you introduced him to fans like they're supposed to know who he is. And I'm sorry, it's no insult on him, but typically when they bring a guy like that in, there's so much more behind it. There's so much more of a name. And then they change the name on top of it, so nobody knows who the hell he is. So I got nothing, guys.
What do you think? What do you think, Tanner?
Well, if you compare like his debut here to, let's say, his debut when he came into NWA, it's like night and day. It's two completely different people almost. So disappointed. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, it's been a while since we've had this kind of character in NXT. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
I don't think it's a character that's gonna work in NXT. I don't think that's what they do.
Dude, here's what I will say. Guys, here's what I will say that I've noticed about NXT in the last week and a half that's been so different than previously. And I've joked before they put the E in NXT. We had two segments on NXT this past Wednesday that are more entertainment-based than wrestling, right? We have the new Cameron Grimes, I'm rich to the moon rich, and Cameron Grimes eventually is going to go bankrupt and it will be the best angle in WWE in a while, right? Because they're planning stories. They're doing the same thing. We look back and Johnny had that story, right? They're just using 15 minutes to tell a story of fake injury, whether you like it or not. Right. That's important to me, though, because I think a lot of the knock on NXT prior to, it's hard for some fans to watch 2 hours of straight in-ring wrestling over and over and over again. It has to be broken up. There has to be some comedy. There has to be some kind of segment, some talking and whatnot. I do think AEW does a really nice job of breaking it up, in per se, segment-wise. I thought that was important for NXT, and I think if they can continue in that role, he may have a role, but you're right. If it was the way it was before, just purely wrestling, cutting 15-second promos before your match, no, it wouldn't have worked at all.
Yeah, Mag says that the Cameron Grimes promo went on way too long. It was that
music video was really long. Yes, I agree.
I liked it though.
I saw it yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday, this morning, and I thought the same thing. I thought it was great, but I didn't think they'd play the whole thing. Like they literally played the whole video on the show. I was like, wow.
Let me tell you guys this too. Tanner has something he wants to say, but like it's kind of fun to delay him being able to make his point. Say this also. I can't stand heavy metal music, and it was so nice to hear Josiah Williams act like with a rap to intro NXT TakeOver versus like, bleh, Triple H jacks off to this.
You know,
like, hang on, I hate that shit.
Dude, I'll TO you for a second, all right? Because he also brings in at least the female version of the same thing, but at least we get the female version, right? We got the the female version.
Like in my mind, when those takeover metal songs hit, like Bill Goldberg is in the back, just like, "Where's a fucking wall? I gotta bang my head against it." Da 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 da. Like, let's go to Saudi Arabia again. Come on, it's like fucking ready to go.
Wish they had that deal still. Anyway.
Yeah, they sure do. They could use it. Tanner, anything else you want to add about the show before we get out of here?
Oh, no, man. It's a fun show, I thought. This will be certainly a benchmark for NXT shows going forward this year. Let's see if they can surpass this one. I thought this
Let me ask you guys a quick question before we bounce out of here, right? We move forward. Yeah. We have, and for NXT-wise, we just have the Mania weekend. They'll probably do 2 hours on Wednesday and then a main event on Saturday and Sunday. Pick your Saturday and Sunday.
As in what matches?
Women's and men's title matches. What do you think?
Women's title match, I think you're getting straight up Io Shirai and Toni Storm. Men's match, I think you get a fatal four-way. And I think you are going to get Kyle O'Reilly, Karrion Kross, Finn Balor, and Adam Cole. And neither Karrion Kross or Finn will take the pin. Whichever they decide between Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly to send up to main roster will be who takes the pin. Probably Cole.
I'll agree with Tony on it being Toni Storm and Io Shirai for the women's title. I'm actually going triple threat. Last time that we saw Karrion Kross in the ring, he did not look great, in my opinion. So I'm going triple threat: Finn Balor, Adam Cole, and Kyle O'Reilly.
So I thought the last time I saw Kross in the ring, he looked great. I thought the time before, he was looking kind of off. It was when his shoulder, he was just coming back from the shoulder. And we'll see this Wednesday, obviously. You know, it's going to be a really fun match. And my thought was this, and I think, Tony, you hit the nail on the head. If you now do a multi-man, it's more people on the Mania card, too. And I think that's important to them, right? And because you're only getting 2 hours on Wednesday and then a little, you could probably get the men's and the women's matches on Mania, it's an extra incentive, right? So if they went multi-person, it gives that incentive mode. It also lets him bring up Cross the next night without him being pinned or having to lose the title in NXT and just get him out of there.
Yeah, Cross isn't in that match to win the title. He's in that match so he can actually have lost that title and then move on. Yeah, I'm with you.
I think the plan was Cross Finn Mania weekend takeover, whenever it was, and for Cross to win the title. I think that was the original idea. And I think once Cross came back, things went right. I really do.
I don't disagree with that. What do you think, Tanner?
Tom raises some great points. I mean, I can't disagree.
I mean, Cross will be your guy that comes up, wins some kind of contender match. You got to assume that if they're running fans Saturday and Sunday at James, whatever it's called, Stadium.
Yes,
Raymond James Stadium. That they will find a way to get a small amount of fans in on Monday for Raw. And then you're already there. So why not get a few fans on Friday for SmackDown? And then why not fans NXT on Wednesday? Like, they're going to have fans all that week. And how do you do that? You get a tournament. You start a tournament where the number one contender wins and gets to face Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam. You can go ahead and start building that. And that's where they're going to go.
I love the opportunity you present with the fans, right? Because I've thought about this probably for the last couple of weeks. Are they going to attempt to run Raymond James on Monday and Tuesday and then do Raw on Monday with limited fans and then Tuesday, whatever? That's what I've thought. I see it a little differently, though. I see there's not a lot on Raw for Drew right now, especially post-Mania. There's just not. He will have ran through most of the roster.
Sure.
If you can create a vicious monster out of Cross in the next 6 or 8 weeks, right? That Monday after Mania, I'm okay with Cross going in there, headbutting him. You can do fake blood because you're WWE. I wish you wouldn't. This would be one of the times I would do color. just make him look like a monster. He just took out Drew, who's taking out everybody. And guess what? You just made your next guy.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Let's get out of here. This is as good of a time as any. I think that's a nice little cliffhanger to run on. We'll talk about Mania. We are now in Mania season. We got Elimination Chamber next Sunday. Some combination of us will do a post show, probably.
Do I have to?
I hate Elimination Chamber. Let me just say that, like, that is the worst gimmick to me.
Oh man, I love the Chamber. I really,
you know what I loved it when, like, it mattered though, as the fan to me. Like, this year, it's the most. It is the worst I've ever seen for it not mattering. I have Drew on the Raw side. You know he's not losing. I have Roman Reigns facing the winner of the SmackDown Chamber after the Chamber match, so I know he's not losing. So it's like, I have to sit through 2 hours of Chamber matches for what?
That's my struggle. Last year's card, Tom. It does look better than last year's
card. Card wise, yes.
We'll talk about it. We'll have, we're going to do that. And then we have some things we're going to work on as well, guys, on the wrestling side.
And my internet side, I promise.
Yes. Yeah. His internet will be fine by then. Hopefully the snowstorm that's taking over the entire United States, because like the states won't lock down for COVID, but they're like, bitch, snow.
There was no groceries at the grocery store yesterday. There's nothing.
Yeah.
So does it look like Michigan COVID April there, where there's nothing on the shelves, like no toilet paper?
There's no toilet paper. Yeah. Here's the crazy thing: we might only get 3 inches of snow, and that's what we did.
Yep.
Dude, like for real. Hold on. Look at this. That's bread.
Yeah.
Also, here, enjoy this too. There were tortillas here.
Do you guys just not think cars work in the snow?
Tom,
In the snow.
Have you seen Texans drive in the not snow?
No. Yeah. No.
Like all of our roads let us go like 75, which is really just a recommendation so that you don't always go 90.
Yeah.
And you know what? I heard a truck earlier try to go 40 going down my road and one of the busiest roads in town. He did not go 40. He went slidey slide. It was so funny. Anyway, let's get the hell out of here, guys.
Slidey slide on out, kids.
We're gonna slidey slide on out of here. Tanner and I will be snowmen by the end of the week, and we're gonna ask Tom to bring his snowmobile down here and make a comeback like his Michigan Wolverines did today against Wisconsin. For Tony, that's Tanner. That's Tom below. Subscribe, like, comment, share.
Is QuickBooks slowing your business down? Do you have challenges managing inventory, project profitability, or just getting paid fast enough? Get your business to a better place and graduate to NetSuite today. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite.
Join the over 24,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/info. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/info, netsuite.com/info.